Thanks, Sister Amy, Sister Dawn for playing, Brother Allen for leading today. Appreciate that. I don't see anybody standing back there, but do we have any specials this morning? Any word of testimony before we get to the word? If not, I don't always ask, but I always need the prayers of God's people every time I stand to try to speak what God's impressed upon my heart for us. And I pray that you will pray for me today and pray that we'll all have open hearts and open ears and minds to the Word of God, that we will allow it to speak to us. God's Word will speak to us. We just have to allow it to. We have to receive it. We can be blessed by it. We have to apply it. But there's more than just hearing the Word of God. I'm going to be reading from John's Gospel today. The Gospel of John, the 20th chapter. I invite you to turn there and read with me. Before I begin in verse 24, I just want to make mention that prior to where I'm going to read, this is after that the Lord had been crucified, put in the tomb, and resurrected. And the disciples were gathered together, the Bible says, and it said that the door was shut, and then the Bible tells us that Jesus stood in the midst of them. And he spoke to them, and he said, "Peace be unto you." And verse 21 here, well, let me just back up to verse 20. Verse 20 said, "Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." The Lord appeared, he revealed himself to them, and they were glad when they saw the Lord. And then Jesus spoke to them again in verse 21, and he said, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." So they got the word from the Lord. They knew what their mission was. They knew what their purpose was. And Jesus reiterated it here as he spoke to them. But I want to pick up reading in verse 24. Verse 24 tells us, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." So what I just told you about in the previous verses, they were all gathered there except Thomas. "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and I thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Then Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. But these things are written, and if you're here and unsaved this morning, listen to this verse. But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And I'm going to conclude my reading with that portion of the reading of God's Word. My text may seem a little bit strange, but I'll explain that later. My text is from Matthew 6 and verse 30. And in Matthew 6 and verse 30, Jesus said, Wherefore, if God clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, and listen, clothe you? And then he ended it by saying, O ye of little faith. Sometimes we worry. Sometimes we have fear. Sometimes we have doubt about these things that he was talking about here. And what the Lord was trying to say there is that we don't have to be concerned about those things. Now, some of you young people may not understand what things I'm talking about, but you read Matthew chapter 6 and you'll see that he was talking about having clothes on their back, and he was talking about having food on their tables and all these basic needs of life that we have. They were concerned about these things. But Jesus finally summarized it all by saying, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So he was saying, get your mind right, get your body right, get your spirit right, and focus it where it needs to be focused. I'll take care of these other things for you if you just put your faith and trust in me. My thought for today, or the title of my message, is The Defeat of Doubt. The Defeat of Doubt. And, doubt can cause many problems in this life. It causes hesitation. Doubt causes disbelief. Doubt causes skepticism. Doubt causes uncertainty. So we see that the problems that doubt can create in our lives. Now, today is the Sunday after Easter. And our scripture tells us about an event that took place the Sunday after the first Easter. The Bible tells us about Thomas, or as most of us growing up refer to him by his nickname. His nickname is Doubting Thomas. That's how people remember him. How would you like to have that as a moniker for your whole life of what you did? I mean, do we even think about anything else that Thomas did with his life? No, we just think about that title, Doubting Thomas. Even those that are unfamiliar with the Bible know about Doubting Thomas. But this Sunday doesn't end with a Doubting Thomas. It ends with a Believing Thomas. And there's a couple of questions that I want you to think about as I try to share my message this morning. Only you know which one addresses you. The first question is, as a Christian, what can I do about people who doubt Jesus? What can I do about people who doubt Jesus? And the other one is, as a doubter, might be a doubter amongst us, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? The best place to find the answer to both of those questions is our rule of faith and order. What is our rule of faith and order? What's that? Right. First article of faith, number one. It's the rule of our faith and order, the Bible, the Scripture, the Word of God. And we can find those answers to those questions as we look this morning for just a few minutes at Doubting Thomas. Jesus had appeared before the disciples, but Thomas misses Jesus. Verse 24 told us Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. I don't know where Thomas was. The Bible isn't that specific, and it didn't record and tell us where Thomas was. I don't know. Maybe he was feeling sorry for himself after what had transpired. And maybe he went for a walk. I don't know. Maybe he had some better things to do. I don't know. But the others that were together there, the scripture said, they saw Jesus. As I look around the congregation this morning, we've got some empty seats. We didn't have this many empty seats last Sunday. We was a lot fuller last Sunday. We don't know where some people are today. Maybe they have better things to do than attend church. Maybe they had better things to do than to gather together and worship our Lord today. For them, other activities had more importance today than being here where you and I are. I don't know their mindset. I don't know. Maybe they're wondering, what's the use? Maybe they're thinking that they've got things that are beyond help of what they can find at the church, at the house of the Lord. What I do know is they are missing the blessing of being here today. Amen? It is good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, you've probably heard the expression, maybe young people use the expression or whatever, but they'll say, this is the place to be, you know. I'm going there because that's the place to be. Listen, today this is the place to be. This is the place to be in the house of the Lord. Now, the others told Thomas when Jesus appeared the first time. They told him, they said, Jesus is alive. Now, you know, I think about things. I don't know how it happened exactly, but I'm thinking about all these disciples there, and I'm thinking about Thomas, who was not there. He comes walking into their midst, and I got to tell you, I believe there's a little bit of excitement there. They weren't just downtrodden or whatever. They didn't just say, we've seen the Lord. I believe they said, we've seen the Lord. They wanted to share the blessing of the risen Savior. It was something that they couldn't keep to themselves. They kept telling Thomas what it was that he had missed. Brothers and sisters, we should share the blessing. As Christians, we too have experienced the risen Savior, have we not? We've had a personal encounter with Jesus. We had to. If you profess to be a child of God today, you had to, because the scriptures tell us that Jesus is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We're also told in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So if you have been born again, if you have been saved by grace through faith, you've had a personal encounter with Jesus. And this is something that we can't keep to ourselves. I don't know about you, but when I was saved, I wanted to tell people. You've heard me testify of this in the past. First thing I wanted to do when I got home was to call down to Nashville and tell my granny and granddaddy I got saved. I wanted to call Virginia and tell my grandma and grandpa I got saved. I wanted to share it. I wanted to tell it to those that were round about me. You remember what Peter said? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to who? To every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. We've got something to talk about. We've got something to be excited about. We know what happened to us, and we need to tell people what they're missing. If you're not saved, you are missing out on one of the greatest gifts that has ever been given to man. And we need to tell them how that they can receive the blessing of God's gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We read that Thomas doubts that they had seen Jesus. He didn't believe him. Verse 25 of my reading tells us that. He said, except I see the prints of the nails and put my finger into the prints of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, he said, I will not believe. His missing Jesus with the others led to doubt, didn't it? Whatever he was doing, he missed Jesus. And he didn't believe the others. And without the experience, Thomas was stuck in doubt. It's sad, but I believe there are a lot of people today that have missed Jesus and they're living in doubt. And what I mean by that is, whatever the important things are of this life that they are chasing, they've missed Jesus. And in life, many of them doubt that there's any joy. They doubt that there is any hope. They doubt that there is any future for them. Without experiencing Jesus, they live in doubt. Remember what doubt does? It causes hesitation. It causes disbelief. It causes skepticism. It causes uncertainty about life. And they find themselves there. And without the evidence, without the proof, Thomas would not believe. What did he want? He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see the nail prints in his hands. He wanted to see where the spear had pierced his side. He was doubting, but I believe it was honest doubt. He would not believe without the evidence. People are no different today. People today, they want the evidence. Some have no sincere doubt. And what I mean by that is they don't care. They just don't care. Jesus is not on their radar. A relationship with him is not on their radar. They're not thinking about the Lord. They're not thinking about the scriptures. They're not thinking about how that God instructs us on how to live our lives and do the things that he'd have us to do. But some are honest, and some of them want evidence. They want to know why they need Jesus. They want to know why Jesus hasn't made a difference in others who call themselves Christians. Brothers and sisters, that's on us. That's on us. If truly saved, we are a new creation in Christ. And as a result of that, we're supposed to live our life in a different way. But that's another message for another time. They want to know that Jesus is real. That's what people want to know. They want evidence that we can't produce. So what can we do? What can we do? In my reading, Thomas sees Jesus. Jesus comes back the next Sunday. All week prior to that, the disciples, listen, he said he wouldn't believe. Did the disciples say, I don't want nothing to do with you. We don't want anybody who don't believe around us. No, that's not what happened. We don't have any record that the disciples turned on Thomas. We don't have any record that they rejected Thomas for his feelings or his thoughts about Jesus. They didn't try to produce evidence because all they had was their own personal experience of what they went through. All they could do was keep telling Thomas that he's alive. He lives. We saw it. We witnessed it. Brothers and sisters, let's learn from their example. Let's learn from what's recorded here for us. We don't want to turn doubters away. We've all encountered people who are doubters. We don't want to turn them away. What we want is to help them to be able to defeat their doubt. We got to help them to get past that point. We want to keep in touch with them. We want to keep in contact with them. We don't have to produce the evidence they want. We just need to keep telling them about Jesus and living a Christian life before them. And here's why. Jesus produced. Jesus presented the evidence himself. Jesus again appeared before the disciples. This time, Thomas was there. And Jesus spoke directly to Thomas. And he told him, in verse 27, he said, reach hither thy finger. I don't know if the Lord was standing there and did this, or if he did this. I don't know how he did it, but he was looking at Thomas and he said, go ahead, reach forth. Thrust your finger into the nail prints of my hands. Go ahead, touch your hand in the pierce of my side. And he said, and then, be thou not faithless, but believing. Well, Jesus displayed what the disciples couldn't, didn't he? Jesus displayed the evidence. But you know what? It's funny to me how that when Jesus presented the evidence, the response that he got. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. Brothers and sisters, here's the thing. It's up to Jesus to provide the evidence to those who doubt. It's the work of God that saves somebody. We understand that. I don't have the ability, I don't have the power to save anybody. If you're here this morning unsaved, I can't do it. I don't have the ability. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that can save you. Now, I can be burdened for you. I can pray for you. I can shed tears for you. I can ask God to hear your prayers. But the truth of God's word is that the work of God, he's the one that saves. He convicts people of their sins. He opens their hearts and their eyes from the blindness of sin by the truth and shares with them what their spiritual need is. Only God can save somebody. But our job, I believe our job is to keep telling people about Jesus. Live a Christian life before them. God uses this all, but only God can save someone. Verse 28 reveals the effect. Thomas believes Jesus. How do we know? He addressed him. He said, "My Lord and my God." He acknowledges, he accepts the evidence of Jesus. In a split second, Thomas believed. In an unexpected moment to Thomas, Jesus made himself known. Now, I don't know. I think when they were all there the second time when the doors were shut and Jesus appeared, I don't think Thomas needed to thrust his fingers into the nail prints or into his side. I believe when he saw Jesus, he knew exactly who he was. And I believe he said, "My Lord and my God." It wasn't necessary, but Jesus gave him the evidence that he needed. And in a split second, he knew who Jesus was. If unsaved this morning, Jesus can make himself real to you in this very service. I can tell you about the cross, and I should. I can tell you about the resurrection of Jesus, and I should. I can tell you what Jesus has done in my life since he saved my soul and the relationship that I enjoy with him. And I should share that with you. I can tell you that Jesus is real, and I should. But the evidence, the proof, is Jesus. Jesus is the evidence and the proof. I'll tell you, in a split second, Jesus can make himself known to you. In a split second, he can make himself known. That's how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit pricks our hearts, which means it opens our eyes and our minds and our hearts to who Jesus Christ is. And we come to an understanding that because of sin, we were separated from a relationship with God the Father. But because of what Jesus did, the evidence that he left behind, he makes himself real to you by bringing that burden in your heart, that conviction, that condemnation. And you'll feel that burden of that truth through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord, he uses me and he uses you, Christians, to get you thinking, unsaved person. He uses the church to be able to share with you and reveal his truth that makes you ask the questions concerning your soul and your eternal destination. A few weeks ago, Dawn and I got to have our grandkids with us for a few days. And one night while Dawn was laying in bed with Lucy, Dawn told Lucy that day, the date of that day, was her mom's birthday, Dawn's mom's birthday. And Lucy said to her, she says, "Well, where is your mom?" And Dawn said, "My mom's in heaven." And Lucy says, "Will I go to heaven?" And Dawn told her, she said, "Well, I hope so. But in order to go to heaven, you need to be saved." And Lucy's 6 years old. And Dawn said, "You need to listen to your Sunday school teacher. And you need to listen to your preacher. And you need to listen to your mom and dad. And at the right time, you'll know what to do." Now, why are you sharing this, preacher? I'm sharing this with you because it's important to tell the truth and let God reveal himself to her heart when she reaches the age of accountability before God. Other denominations, and I'm telling you the truth this morning, if a six-year-old in their congregation said, "Can I go to heaven?" they will tell that child, "Yes, you can, if you'll just receive Jesus into your heart and just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are saved." Brothers and sisters, they're being deceived. Where's the repentance? Where's the faith? And that's what's happening. Churches across this country are holding vacation Bible schools. I know of one specific one that held vacation Bible school, and they said, "How many of you want to go to heaven?" And they raised their hands, and that church professed that 42 children got saved during their vacation Bible school. God have mercy. I hope somebody preaches the truth to them, that they have an understanding that salvation is something that you have to be a part of personally. You have to experience it personally. Nobody else can tell you about being saved or that you're saved besides you and the Lord. And I pray that my son will continue to take Lucy to church and that she'll be taught what salvation is and how salvation is obtained. And I'm trusting the Lord to save her when the time is right and God burdens her and convicts her soul. But only Jesus can give the evidence. Only Jesus can give it. If unsaved, I'm telling you this morning, He'll work in your heart. And He'll make Himself real to you. And He'll speak through His Word. And you'll all of a sudden hear. He may be doing it right now. I don't know. There may be somebody lost this morning that has heard the words of the message. And there may be somebody here today that needs to defeat doubt. And you need to get that out of your mind and you get that out of your life. You know, Thomas, he made a public profession. The scripture said, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." No more doubt. No more doubt. He knows. He knew who Jesus is. He knew that Jesus is Lord. Thomas has defeated. Thomas has overcome. He has conquered and he has triumphed over doubt. That's what happened. That's what we read this morning. I wonder, do you now know how to overcome your doubt? Do you believe? Has Jesus made it clear to you this morning? Maybe this is the first time that he has pricked your heart or spoke to your heart and revealed to you your lost condition and your need to be saved. Jesus says, those who believe without seeing are blessed, didn't he? Verse 29, blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. I never saw Jesus with my physical eyes, but I saw him with spiritual eyes, and I believed him, and I believed the evidence, and I was saved. My text verse said, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Excuse me. The words, O ye of little faith, they can mean at least two things. It can be a challenge to strengthen a person's faith, or it can be a rebuke because a person's faith is weak. I want you to hear this and I want you to receive this and view this as a challenge from Jesus. I want your faith to be put in him. Your faith this morning, it may be small right now, but if you will believe and you'll trust in Jesus, he will strengthen and he will enlarge your faith. God cares about you. He'll provide for your needs just like this verse in context was referring to, providing all of their needs. But I want you to know that as he said, O ye of little faith, if you will put your faith and trust in him, what Jesus was saying was that you can trust him, you can have faith in him, you can believe in him, and he will take care of your greatest need. What's our greatest needs, brothers and sisters? Salvation. Salvation is our greatest need. And he says, don't have little faith. You know, if you're lost and you feel the burden of the Lord and he's drawing you to an altar of faith, don't come up to the altar thinking, I'm not going to get saved. You probably won't. You need to come up to this altar with faith and you need to call upon the Lord and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be forgiven of my sins. I confess my sins to you. I repent of my sins and I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm not telling you that's what you have to pray. That's what has to happen. You pray in your own words and you talk to the Lord yourself. But what I'm saying is you've got to want to be saved more than anything else you want in this world. Anything you put ahead of the Lord is going to be a hindrance to you finding the Lord. And it's going to make it more difficult for you to put your faith and trust in the Lord. Salvation is by faith in Jesus. By grace are you saved through faith. The Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't need to see Jesus today personally. We have a figurative representation of the Lord through the Word of God. And we know what the Holy Spirit can do. And we understand it better when God's people express through their testimony how the Lord saved them. We all got saved the same way, but all of us were in some kind of a different situation. Some of us were in a church. Some of us were at home. Doesn't matter where it is, but our experience always leads to the same. One way. Lord Jesus Christ, the only way. And then we find peace when we put our faith and trust in Him. We walk by faith and not by sight. Someone this morning just may need to take a leap of faith. Has Jesus convinced you this very hour through His Word and through His message this morning? Do you have that desire to be saved this morning? You can be. I want you to know that you can be. By faith, overcome and defeat doubt. By faith, you know, Satan's going to do everything that he can to put stumbling blocks in your pathway. You need to overcome those by trusting in Jesus and defeating doubt. And you'll find the place where you can find Jesus precious to your soul above everything else. Brother Allen, let's have a song this morning. Someone may need Jesus. I'm glad that I was able to defeat doubt when I was burdened with sin, when I was lost. You know, Satan told me all kinds of things when I was unsaved. Gave me all kinds of reasons and excuses not to seek the Lord. But I'm thankful that the Lord tarried with me. I'm thankful that His Holy Spirit continued to burden me. And that burden got deeper and deeper until I came to the point where I wasn't fearful of doubt anymore. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't skeptical about what was going to happen. All I knew is I needed what Jesus had, and I came seeking it. You may need to seek it today too. Let's stand together. Let's have a song. If you're unsaved, the invitation is to come. Seek the Lord. Trust in Him unto your saving soul today.